It seems very different not to have an organ, doesn't it? It makes everything seem much more quiet and peaceful. But we miss the organ, so we hope to have it back sometime soon. Perhaps you read in the newspaper that one of our former auxiliary bishops, Bishop Lohmuller, died this past week, and his funeral is Wednesday afternoon. He was 97 years old when he died, so he was an active bishop here a long, long time ago. But please remember him in your prayers, as I hope you'll remember me in your prayers once I die. So you can't forget us just when we get old, right? You got to pray for us. Bishops need prayers more than anybody else. Why do we come to Mass on Sunday? I don't mean what's your personal motivation for coming, but why does God want us to come to Mass together? And why is it a commandment of the Church, a serious commandment of the Church, to attend Mass on Sunday? Well, the reason for it is that we come to church to change our mind. That's what God wants us to do. When we come here, He wants us to change our mind, change the way we think. And after we change the way we think, to change the way we act. We sit at the feet of Jesus as His disciples to learn from Him. And what we're trying to learn is different ways of thinking and different ways of acting. You know, in the Scriptures, God says to us, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." And the whole purpose of coming to Mass is to begin to let God's ways be our ways and God's thoughts to be our thoughts. And that's especially true about today's Scripture readings, because they're about changing the way we think, and from that, the way we act. Today's gospel is the gospel of the eight Beatitudes. How many of you went to Catholic school? It's typical of Philadelphia. Almost all of us went to Catholic school, right? How many of you learned the eight Beatitudes when you were in Catholic school? Almost everybody. Now, who here can give me the eight Beatitudes without looking at it on a piece of paper? Nobody, right? Well, you know, it's not important to memorize them, but it is important to live them. And that's what coming to Mass is about, learning to live the Beatitudes. The first one in the Gospel of St. Matthew is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven shall be theirs." The Beatitudes are also in the Gospel of St. Luke. And the first one in St. Luke's list is, "Blessed are the poor, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." What's the difference between being poor and being poor in spirit? In Christian theology, nothing. There's no difference. Because to be poor in the Scriptures doesn't mean simply to lack money. It means to understand your poverty in relationship to God. You know, that before God, the only thing you and I can ever claim are our sins, and everything else is a gift from Him. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or "blessed are the poor," He means exactly the same. Those who understand that before God, we are nothing but beggars. Now, the first two readings for Mass this evening are also about being poor in spirit. The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Again, that's one of those names you don't call your children, right? Zephaniah. I don't know any Zephaniahs. But he was a prophet who spoke to the Jewish people when they were in a desperate situation, when their kingdoms had been destroyed and there weren't many of them left. And God, using the voice of the prophet, spoke to them and promised them that if they would be a faithful remnant, then God would take that tiny seed and it would become the germ of a new people, a fresh start for the Jewish people. But in order for them to be an honest remnant, they had to be poor and humble of spirit. Not to rely on themselves, but to rely on God. Not to trust in their own strength, but to depend entirely on God's strength. Now, the Hebrew word for the remnant is anawim. And the church today is supposed to be the fruit of God's remnant, you know. Sometimes I worry that we are. You know, it used to be 40, 50 years ago, the cathedral would be packed at all the masses, right? And right now, it's about this crowd at all the masses except at Christmas and Easter, you know. It used to be that 75, 80% of people went to Mass on Sunday. Today, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, it's about 20% of Catholics go to Mass on Sunday, which isn't very many. It's not a very large percentage. But we have God's promise in this reading that if we are humble and poor and faithful, God will make us the beginning of something new. But that's required, that we don't depend on ourselves, that we depend entirely on God. Blessed are the poor, the anawim, God's poor remnant, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now today's second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And I've mentioned to you many times that, you know, St. Paul wrote letters back to the churches that he founded. And the community in Corinth, they have two letters from St. Paul to the Corinthians. Some people say there are actually four letters that have been combined into two. But he wrote to them more than anybody else because they were the more difficult people. You know, they were in some ways the most enthusiastic of his churches, but also the ones who tend to wander away from the basic teachings of the gospel. And he wrote back to them in this portion of 1 Corinthians, which is the first chapter, to correct them because they began to be proud and arrogant and to trust in themselves rather than to trust in God. And listen to what he says to them, because he's saying it to you and he's saying it to me tonight. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. He was always reminding the Jews who became Christians that they became Christians not because of themselves, but because God called them. God did it. They didn't do it. Just like the reason why you're here tonight is because God called you. And you might think your parents made you come, or your boyfriend called you, or whatever, you know, but it's really God who has brought you here by all different kinds of means. He says to them, consider your own calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards. How many of you have doctorates? Nobody here has a doctorate. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's two, three, four of us. That's not many. Five, six of us. Well, you're really the smart ones back there. But not many of us are wise as the world by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. How many of you were elected leaders in the community? How many of you have lots of money? I want to especially meet those so I can ask you to write a check for the church. Just joking. But not many of them were powerful, not many of them wise. Not many were of noble birth. That isn't an issue today. But how many of you think you're important? Then he goes on to say, and this is the important part, God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who think they are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to Him that you are in Christ Jesus. It's not your doing, it's due to Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. Again, it's a lesson in being poor of spirit, to know that whatever we have, whatever talent we have, whatever success we've had, whatever special ability we might have that someone else doesn't have, is not the result of our doing, but it comes from God alone. And if we're going to boast, let's boast about where it really comes from, who is God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But in the gospel, Jesus gives us seven other beatitudes. The word beatitude is a translation of the Greek word makarios, which means happy or favored or fortunate. In this case, it's translated as blessed. In other words, if this is what you're like, you should consider yourself blessed. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's what makes us available to God, right? And that's a blessing, to know that everything depends on Him. It puts us in a right relationship with God. The second one is, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. To mourn is to weep and to cry. Why would that be a blessing? Well, what Jesus is talking about in this gospel passage is the ability for us to be upset and to cry about injustice in the world or evil in the world, whether it's in our own lives or in the lives of other people, to be upset if things are not going well for God's people, not just for ourselves. It's to care enough about something to be upset about it. You know, like what's going on in our country, you know, when it comes to the election or when it comes to immigration issues or issues of racism or justice in terms of people's work, life issues, the meaning of marriage. You know, what Jesus is telling us, it's a blessing for us to care enough about those things that we weep about what's wrong with ourselves and with others. And if we don't do that, there's something wrong with us if we want to be disciples of Jesus. And if we are the kind of women and men who weep over injustice, Jesus promises us that we will be comforted. And if we don't care, I guess the other thing happens. We're not comforted ourselves. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. What does it mean to be meek? It's not a word that we talk about very often in today's world. I think it really means to be patient when we have reason not to be patient, when people irritate us, whether it's on the interstate when someone's driving slowly and we're behind them. Are you meek, or you honk your horn and give them the gesture of unfriendliness that's so common in Philadelphia? At least I get it from people, you know. Or are you meek? You know, meek means you're not angry all the time. It means that you're not wanting to fight when people want to fight you. It really means having a humble heart in relationship with others and not to be a woman or man who retaliates when people do some injustice to us. And blessed are the meek, for they inherit the land. They have a great future ahead of them. The next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness in the Bible doesn't mean to be perfect. It means to participate in the goodness of God, to try to be good. Not to be perfect, but to try to be good. And Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who want to be good. He says, blessed are those who hunger to be good and thirst to be good. That means they have a passion for wanting to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, is that a characteristic of my discipleship? Do I want to be a disciple with all my heart? Do I hunger and thirst for it? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. We've had a whole year talking about mercy. Last year, the Pope gave us the year of mercy. So I hope you know what it means. It means being kind to others, especially those who might offend us, to forgive others as we want God to forgive us. But it also means to look kindly on the poor and the weak and those who are suffering, to be compassionate in our heart, but also in our actions. And if we're merciful, we're told that mercy shall be ours. The next one, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. When I was in grade school and I memorized the Beatitudes and won the contest, actually, a catechism contest, we had them in those days. I memorized everything. I was pretty good at those things. We were told that this meant that means we tried to be chaste. We didn't have impure thoughts or impure actions. But, you know, as I came to know the Scriptures, I came to understand that's not what the Scriptures meant. That's not what the Hebrew means. That's not what the Greek means. What it means is to be single-hearted. Now, it's really good to be chaste, by the way, but that's not what this Beatitude is about. It's about being single-minded, not being two-faced, to be on the inside what we look like on the outside, and not to be yes one day and no the next day in terms of our Christian discipleship. It means to be persistent and faithful to our baptismal promises. Blessed are the pure of heart, those who have pure intentions, for they will see God. The next one. Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I mean, those who make peace are like God's children. What does it mean to be at peace? It certainly doesn't mean not to have conflict, because Jesus had conflict with everybody. That's why he got crucified. You know, so we shouldn't think peace means did we do anything to get along. In fact, we shouldn't do anything to get along. We should do only what's good, right? Even if people don't like us. We learn about that a bit later here. But to be peacemakers means to have the right relationship with God and the right relationship with others. You know, to work at that. To have just relationships with others. And have that the society would have a just relationship with others. It was Blessed Pope Paul VI who said, if you want peace, you have to work for justice. That's true about the world, but it's also true about our personal relationships. To have peace with our wife or our husband, our children, our parents, our friends, means to have a right, just relationship with them. And to be at peace with God is so important. That means we have a right relationship with God. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus goes on and explains what that means himself. He says, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. We're told that we are blessed if people don't like us because we're Christians. That's really hard for us, you know, to stand out as a Christian in a world that doesn't favor Christianity. It's a very difficult thing, especially when we're young. We want to fit in. We don't want people to dislike us, and so we kind of hide the fact that we're Christians, or we don't act like Christians. We fit in and act like everybody else. But Jesus says, you're not going to be happy if you do that. You're going to be happy if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, make sure you're not confusing that with just being a bad person or an unpleasant person to be with. And sometimes you get persecuted just because you're not a pleasant person to be with. Jesus is talking about principles, you know, that we're faithful to principles in a world that doesn't accept the teachings of Jesus. So, the Beatitudes are 8 characteristics of disciples of Jesus. How much of this describes you? How much of this describes me? That's a very important question for us to ask ourselves today. And every time when we come to church, because what do we do when we come to church? We sit here to learn to change our mind, the way we value things, the way we look at things, and then the way we act. Because we want God's ways to be our ways and God's thoughts to be our thoughts. We ask the Lord to transform and convert us to his ways in our celebration of Mass today.